Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A new sound, a new look, and a whole new way to bring you everything Buffalo Bills. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker and the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, bring you One Bills Live. Weekdays noon to 3 right here on the home of the Bills, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get back to talking about those Buffalo Bills. The latest from One Bills Drive, ESPN's Mike Rodak on phone 2 of 4, I believe, this afternoon. Mike, how are you?
Doing well. Appropriate intro song. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, when you have four phones, you're PIMP. Let's face it.
I like it.
Rodak is very musically inclined here.
We like that. Yeah. We like that. Rodak, by the way, I mean, if you have a request for a walk-up song, we're happy to oblige here in the sports bar.
I mean, I think we can just stick with that. I like that one.
All right.
Get you in a good move. Get you rolling.
PIMP moving forward from Mike Rodak. Noted.
Mike, the roster move today, Phillips up. We saw him in camp and looked pretty good, but what does this mean for Robert Foster? Why the move today, Mike?
Yeah, just didn't really do much the first 6 weeks. Really, if you go back to even the preseason, I don't know if I was all that blown away by Robert Foster. I think they sort of just gave him a shot by default because they didn't want Corey Coleman, and they got rid of Rod Streeter and Brandon Riley and a couple of the other guys who are hanging around in training camp. And they thought, maybe we should keep Foster around as an undrafted rookie. Maybe he'll get some interest if they had released him at, final cuts. But this never really emerged in the first few weeks. A couple deep shots is what they really tried to use him for. He's got some speed. That's probably his best asset if he wants to continue and try to find a role at the NFL level, but just really seemed to be lacking, the complete package as a receiver, even in this offense where there's, clear need for someone to step up. I don't think he really did much that would justify that. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's back on the practice squad. That seemed to be the tenor of a pretty long conversation that he had with Marlon Turner after practice today. Turner's obviously their alumni director, but also involved player engagement, which is a lot of, personal assistance offered to players. So, it was clearly a heart-to-heart conversation, and, the impression that I had of it was, where is your career headed at this point? But it didn't seem like he was imminently going to be leaving the building either. So I wouldn't be surprised if he does clear waivers and is back on the practice squad.
ESPN's Mike Rodak joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Mike, it was earlier in the week that one of your colleagues at ESPN, Diana Rossini, put out a report mentioning not only the length of time that Josh Allen was reported to be missing with that UCL sprain in his throwing elbow, but also the idea that Sean McDermott could lose the locker room should he decide to start Nate Peterman on Sunday. We now know, of course, that Nate will be backing up Derek Anderson. I'm just curious as to how Diana got that information and how much of that is true. How much of that, and how could you possibly, you could say just based on his play on the field, you could speculate that he's going to lose the locker room, but were there players talking to Rossini basically saying, look, he's going to lose the locker room if that guy gets back behind center this Sunday?
Yeah, I have no reason to believe that it's not true. Obviously, I fully support Diana's reporting, and she has a great track record. So, I'm not sure exactly, where that came from. Personally, I haven't encountered the same sort of sentiment, at least anything overt, let's put it that way. Even in the locker room after the game on Sunday, when it was clear that a lot of the team obviously was frustrated with the loss, the fact that they probably should have won that game, but even players then were supporting Nathan Peterman. We heard it from LeSean McCoy, and we heard it from Zay Jones. We heard it from Kelvin Benjamin even, who, expressed some frustration after the opening game of the season, I think, with you know, some of the throws that were made in that Ravens game. His effort was questioned on those two interceptions that Nathan Peterman threw in week one, and he sort of pushed back by saying, try playing receiver in the NFL. It basically was a shot at the quarterback in that case. So the fact that Kelvin Benjamin wasn't taking the same sort of shots after Sunday's game, I think, was evidence that the offense still had some level of confidence in Peterman. I mean, it's all relative. You're looking at Nathan Peterman versus Josh Allen and his own set of problems, and Derek Anderson and his own set of problems. So through the offense's eyes, I'm not sure, there would be much to gain by bad-mouthing Nathan Peterman, for instance. But, as a defensive standpoint, I'm sure that there's a pretty high level of frustration given the way they played, given the way they had that red zone goal line stand against the Texans, and it was basically all for naught. I mean, they've produced a lot of turnovers this season. I believe it's the fifth or sixth most that they've forced in the NFL this year, and there's been very few points to show for it, and that's naturally going to be a problem. Losing the locker room, I think, is sometimes a hard term to quantify. It's not like, you can lose the locker room per se. I don't know if there'll be mass exodus or, mutiny or something. It would just be, a certain level of frustration that sets in among players. But at the end of the day, it's the NFL, and guys know that they're going to be on film, and, they have potentially futures somewhere else as free agents. And one way or the other, you're not going to see guys quit. So even though there might have been a level of frustration if they stick with Nate Peterman, I don't know if it really would have showed up on the field.
We're talking to Mike Rodak, ESPN.com, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Mike, did the front office get caught here? And I'm just trying to play out the timeline here because we learned of Anderson's imminent signing on the morning of the Titans game, and the Bills went on to win that. And I remember walking down to the locker room with you, and you said, well, you know what? This might mean practice squad for Nate Peterman. Well, you can't put Nate Peterman on the practice squad if the quarterback comes in. A quarterback off the street can't not be your number two. So, in other words, do you get the sense that the Buffalo Bills front office, by not bringing in Anderson a little bit sooner, might have cost the Buffalo Bills here a win down in Houston?
Potentially. If everything else goes right in terms of the defense and the game being close and you have Derek Anderson in there late, does he throw that interception? Probably not. He probably doesn't throw the pass. He makes some other sort of decision in that case. Maybe things are different. I do think that there's a very strong argument to be made that they should have signed Derek Anderson sooner. I mean, heck, I was going back to March or April, February even, saying that they should have a veteran like that on the roster, especially if they were going to draft a rookie, which they did. And instead, they brought in A.J. McCarron, who had, I think, five or six games of experience coming into Buffalo. And you have Nathan Peterman, who I think had four appearances last season. So it was really the least experienced quarterback group in the NFL. Now, I don't really have a big problem with the A.J. McCarron trade. I think that's decent value for a guy who, didn't show you a whole lot through the preseason. But I think if you're going to make that move and you have to replace him with somebody, from a more veteran standpoint on the roster, I don't think going into the season with just Josh Allen and Nathan Peterman was the most prudent move. That's sort of where my issue lies. And, Sean McDermott said last week that, we were trying to sign Derek Anderson through the first few weeks of the season, and there was injury issues and numbers game issues. It came off as a little bit of an excuse, why he wasn't on the roster. I don't know if they needed, for instance, 10 offensive linemen on the roster instead of a third quarterback who could offer all these things that they've said that Derek Anderson offers. So that was a mistake, and that, I don't know if it totally would have changed the outcome of the Texans game, but it certainly, I think would have changed things over the course of the entire season, having, a veteran quarterback like that in here.
Mike, when we heard that they signed Derek Anderson, I think our first reaction was, well, if we see Derek Anderson, something has gone terribly wrong. Well, we're going to see Derek Anderson on Sunday. Something has gone terribly wrong. We know about the injury, UCL sprain. We know that surgery isn't going to be the course of action based on what we're hearing from Dr. James Andrews. But well, what is the timetable? I mean, is this something that we can say, you know what, given the proper rest and rehab, we could see him back as soon as a week from Monday night? Or is this something where it's like, oh God, we're talking 6 weeks for this to fully heal and for him to be able to throw the ball the way he needs to throw the ball?
That's a good question, because if you read David Chow, who is the former Chargers team doctor, he's Pro Football Doc on Twitter, and he writes for the San Diego Union Tribune, his timetable was much closer to the six-week mark. In fact, I think he did a video saying that would be his over-under.
Yeah.
Would be 6 weeks, and maybe he goes under that, which would bring us, I think, to the Jaguars game after Thanksgiving, which is quite a ways. Now, when Josh Allen spoke on Wednesday, he, you know, he bounced around a little bit, or I guess he evaded the question about the timetable, but he did sort of mention what, you know, whether it's this week or whether it's next week or the week after or whenever is basically how he phrased it, which sort of gives you a context of what he might have been told will be, you know, the timetable within a few weeks. That's obviously less than 6 weeks. So, look, I mean, they've, not that this current regime has, but we've seen the Bills make mistakes with, you know, quarterback injuries in the past. And the one that comes to mind was E.J. Manuel in 2013 as a rookie when he sprained his knee and came back too early and was awful against the Steelers at Heinz Field that day. I think it was November of that season, and it was pretty obvious that the Bills rushed him back. And you know, I think there's certainly an awareness on the Bills' part at this point that it's probably not worth it to get Josh Allen back on the field, because A, I mean, you don't want to screw up that elbow anymore, it, you know, with the risk of, you know, potentially surgery and Tommy John surgery, which is a huge deal. You know, if there's a further injury to it, but you know, what's the upside? I mean, you bring Josh Allen back and you're playing him against the Bears instead of Derek Anderson. Is that really giving you much more? I mean, probably not at this point in Josh Allen's career. You know, he hasn't shown a whole lot yet, and there's going to be a whole lot of growth that he needs to make over the next couple of years. So I just don't think it's worth it. So if, you know, he's not 100%, I don't think there's any reason to have him on the field until he is.
If he were a baseball player, would we be talking about Tommy John? Do we know anything about the extent of this UCL? Is it similar to a, you know, to the injury that all these baseball pitchers have?
Well, it is the same ligament, the UCL, and you know, baseball is different because it's 120 throws a game, where a quarterback is, where a pitcher is using that, and it's obviously more often doing that for, you know, 25 starts a season or whatever it might be, and doing it once every 5 days as opposed to once every 7 days. And some of the torques and the motions of throwing a baseball are different than throwing a football. So it is, I think, hard to compare. It's not something that often comes up in football. I know some people have done some research on it, and some of the most recent examples are Jake Delhomme with the Panthers in 07, and I think Rob Johnson as well in 2004 are the ones that saw out there as far as having Tommy John surgery in the NFL. So it's just not something you see quite as often, whereas in baseball it seems to happen all the time. It's almost like a, I don't want to say preventative, but it's something that they seem to move towards pretty quickly in order to get a pitcher back, whereas I think in the NFL it's probably more of a last resort. And you know, it's hard to tell exactly, you know, if the damage is similar or, you know, if it's going to cause long-term problems for Josh Allen, but certainly looked like on Sunday like it was affecting his ability to throw. I remember looking down with my binoculars to the sideline, and right after that injury he took one practice throw, and you could tell right away that it wasn't going to work. And you know, he saw the big brace on his arm this week and even today too, and it's pretty immobile, so it's not something where, you know, I would be expecting him to play against the Patriots. I think that would even be a bit of a stretch at this point.
He's covering the Buffalo Bills for ESPN. Mike Rodak, good with his time joining us here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Mike, I want to turn the page and try to look at the bright side of things. It's very easy to get down when you recognize the quarterback situation with this team, but you have a defense now that has a DVOA of number three in the NFL. They're a top three defense, according to Football Outsiders. You're going up against a Colts team that's 1-5. You're going up against a Colts team that you beat in the snow in Orchard Park last year. I mean, shouldn't we be looking at this game, a very winnable game for the Buffalo Bills? And really, when you look at the rest of the schedule, probably the easiest game on the remaining schedule for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about that today. For it to be another game on, or not another game, but a game on the rest of the Bills' schedule where they are favored. And the couple that came to mind for us in the media room today were the Jets game at home and the Lions game at home. Probably the two, I think, where the Bills might have a chance to be favored if things kind of continue the way they are. So I think those games are easier than this one going on the road. And I know Andrew Luck hasn't been, you know, quite the same quarterback that he was a few years ago, but obviously he's, you know, head and shoulders above Derek Anderson. And you're talking about a game on the road with Derek Anderson where he hasn't played, he hasn't, you know, done any football activities really from January up until last week, which is a pretty big deal, and I think it would be a stretch to expect any sort of big game out of him. But the sort of game you need to win would be sort of that slot fest where it's a couple turnovers here and there. I mean, basically what they got the last 2 weeks, like in the Titans and the Texans, where the defense is giving the offense short fields, and you know there's some plays that fall your way, and maybe you're able to kick a long field goal or two, which, you know, Steven Hauschka certainly has the capability of doing, and you sort of win that way. That's going to be their formula. But, look, I think there's definitely going to be some rough moments with Derek Anderson. Just watching him after practice on Wednesday, they basically held a full offensive session after the end of practice just to try to get him up to speed, and a lot of, you know, play calls and line calls, getting the offensive line for Derek Anderson so he can get used to that. But then there was one play where they're trying to take a deep shot. In fact, I think it was like Reed Ferguson and the special teams guys are down at the other end of the field and are motioning to those guys, you know, make sure you're, you know, heads up or get out of the way because we're going to go deep. And Derek Anderson just launched the ball and it fell good 10 yards short. I think it two-hopped Cam Phillips on deep route, not just routes against there. It wasn't as if there was defense or anybody pass rushing. It just, you know, there's definitely going to be a rust factor with Derek Anderson, and I'm not sure that he can fully shake it off by Sunday.
Well, I mean, rust factor aside, we know what his physical limitations are based on what you're describing. Again, I'm going to try and spin this into a positive, Mike, so bear with me. But, you know, some of the reports we're hearing and some of the quotes that we're hearing from Derek Anderson, sure seems like he's coming in loose. Seems like he's coming in and not feeling any sort of pressure. I mean, you know, is that something that we can, as fans, could look at and be like, well, look, he's going to go in there and play like he's never played before. We're not going to see the Derek Anderson we saw in Carolina or in Cleveland or in Arizona, because in those situations, he had the weight of the franchise on his shoulders. In this situation, the expectations are so low, he might just blow us away.
It's possible if he's capable of doing it. I mean, I don't think you'll have, you know, the same sort of mentality that a Nathan Peterman might have, where, you know, obviously his career is at a crossroads and he hasn't really proven himself at the NFL level, and his confidence is obviously low. You know, Derek Anderson's coming in as a guy who was on his couch a couple weeks ago chasing his kids around and didn't think he was going to be starting for this team. Thought he was just going to be the backup holding the clipboard and being the guy in the meeting room. And sure enough, here he is and starting quarterback in the NFL again. So if anything, he just sort of views it as, you know, something extra at this point. And I would agree that there's no burden on his end. I mean, if he fails, nobody's going to be, you know, all over Derek Anderson's case. I think people are going to be on the Bills for bringing him in so late, and just generally, you know, all the series of things that led to the quarterback situation being the way it is. Now, is a reckless attitude enough to you know, go out there and have a huge game? You know, probably not. But Ryan Fitzpatrick certainly has used that to his advantage at some points, and maybe that's the sort of formula the Bills might need.
Mike Rodak, ESPN.com. Let's talk about special teams for a second here, because if the Bills are going to have any chance, well, let's say they cannot afford to do what they did in Houston. That was the turnovers there on special teams. Does Ray McCloud get another shot here? We saw Micah Hyde returning some punts last week, which is all well and good. But, Mike, I don't know if I want Micah Hyde out there if you can have Ray McCloud back in there. Is Coach given any idea who's going to be returning kicks this week?
Yeah, we asked him today, and he wasn't giving it up. You know, coaches are just kind of insane about certain minor details about games and strategy, and they weren't willing to divulge that, or Sean McDermott wasn't willing to divulge that today. I think if you're Sean McDermott, I think there's certainly value to putting Ray McCloud back out there. I mean, if you're talking about this as a young team and a growth season and all the things that he's sort of framed this year as, then I don't think it makes sense to bury the guy over two mistakes that essentially happened in Sunday's game. He fumbled the opening kickoff and was able to recover that, and then he had to fumble punt, which he was not able to recover. And that was essentially the end of his day. But, you know, if you're going to pull him out of the game this week and not make him the returner, then, well, when does he return as the returner? So I think it's worth it just to put him back out there and see if a week has changed him at all. And if not, maybe go from there. But, again, I don't think it makes sense to completely bury the kid over that. It's not, you know, this isn't the playoffs. This isn't a season in which you need every single win. I think there's obviously a frame to this season that, you know, it's something where you're trying to find guys out and find out who can be on your team long term.
Mike, we know you're our source for Buffalo Bills breaking news at ESPN.com. I'm wondering if there's anything else you're working on for the site that you'd like to share with us.
No, not really this week. Just trying to keep up with this quarterback carousel. Feels like this happens at some point every year where there's some sort of injury and some sort of crisis around this time of year. And look, I mean, even last year, you had this Bills started off 5-2, and then they lose those three straight games in October, early November, and that was kind of their crisis of that season. But you know, they recovered late in the year enough to make the playoffs. But the reason was because they were good enough at the beginning of the year, starting 5-2. That's not the case this year. This team is bad to start the year. This is their worst start since 2010, and now they're in crisis mode. And I don't think there's enough runway really over the rest of the season for them to change that. So that's a long way of saying that, you know, this is going to be a long year, I guess.
Well, have fun in Indy, Mike. Appreciate your time on this Thursday.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Later, Mike. Mike Rodak, ESPN, joining us here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Yeah. Well, lower those expectations, Bills fans.
Yeah, that's fine. Listen, and I love having Mike on. Mike brings, you know, great amount of wisdom and shares a lot of what he sees and hears there at One Bills Drive. I still think that there's something to a quarterback going in loose, a quarterback going in without pressure. Now, yes, he might have physical limitations. He might be rusty as all hell. He might not be able to make all of the throws. But Derek Anderson, you know, through some of his quotes in the media, and given that he's just, you know, a guy that's getting another opportunity in this league, he's coming in he's just coming in loose. He's just coming in with he's probably got low expectations himself. No pressure. Do a good job when you don't have pressure, right? If you're disciplined, you do a good job when the heat is off. You know you're disciplined and you're going to get the job done without somebody breathing down your neck. So the bar being set as low as it is, I don't know. Maybe that's a positive for Derek Anderson. Maybe Derek Anderson goes in and we have a situation where we don't have any expectations, so he blows us away with what he is able to do, as limited as that might be. And this is coming from a guy who watched Josh McCown take over for the Chicago Bears a few years ago, right? I mean, he was retired, you know, and coaching high school football, and he got the call and made the most out of his opportunity and was able to kind of have a career renaissance after his year in Chicago, going to Cleveland, and, you know, turned out to be Josh McCown is Josh McCown. But he had some good games. He kind of exceeded expectations. I don't think anybody had high expectations for a guy coming off the couch to be able to win some games for his team.
It just blows my mind, though, that here we are at a point where the Buffalo Bills are forced to start someone who's been on the roster 13 days when you went months preparing. Oh my gosh, the OTAs, the mini camps. Who's taking the first drafts? McCarron, Peterman, OTAs, mini camps, training camp, time after training camp.
Yeah, the difference between the analogy I used with Josh McCown and the Buffalo Bills is the Bears identified that Caleb Haney was not going to get any more reps. He was done. He wasn't going to see the field. We're not going to entrust Caleb Haney into doing anything. Bring in McCown, and that gives us a better chance. And the Bills, look, they dealt with it when they dealt with it. We would have liked to have seen them deal with it a little bit sooner in the season so your guy would have a little bit more experience under his belt with this system coming in. But Derek Anderson seems to be a pretty smart guy. And he seems to be loose, seems to be ready to have some fun on Sunday. Maybe he'll fling it around and surprise us.
Corey Coleman has a new place.
That's right.
Yeah, NFL Appetizers coming up.
NFL Appetizers is brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We'll tell you where Corey Coleman has landed. Next with NFL Appetizers in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.